life, that he lived with vigor, and that he ran the race well. Ms. Goldsmith, I didn't even see you there. God's blessings to you. You have, you and your husband both left quite a shadow and large shoes to fill. We thank God for you and your clan. We need to pick on some folks. This Wednesday, there will be the ongoing study of for officer training. If any of you want to be a part of that, we welcome you. If you would like to have a conversation with Judy Merritt on continuing conversation on Israel, there's some books here. Out on the table, there are two books that at Bethany we will probably start studying on Wednesdays in August. But if you wanted to... Well, Mr. and Ms. Kimball, the younger set, good to see you all. Baby in tow, great. I knew there was somebody we were supposed to be picking on. You already did that, great. But there are two books. One is The Making of a Leader, a great book by a professor on leadership. This guy studied thousands of Christian leaders, both in the Bible and through Christian history, and he noticed there's a pattern that God follows in shaping his leaders. And it actually, his research forms the basis of this refocusing ministry based in California, and some of you will be participating in Montreat and at St. Simon's, this refocusing ministry, but it's based on this guy's research. And if you'd like to be a part of that, let us know. The other one is called Hearing God by Dallas Willard, who is a professor of philosophy at one of the great large universities in California. Richard Foster, who has written a lot about the spiritual discipline, says this book on hearing God is the best that he knows anything about. But anyway, I put them out there because some of you may want to study it at a different time. You may want to study it during the week or on the Thornwell campus or at some other place. And if you're interested, just write your name down and when you want to do it. We will also have people who have been teaching Sunday school class that probably want a break. And we need to recruit some people. We need some volunteers. You know, I cannot tell you how important this is. Most of you are aware that the church is losing its biblical literacy. We don't know the storyline. But it's much more serious than that. Our worldview, that part of us that shapes our values and our beliefs, is becoming secularized and driven by materialism and consumerism. And it's so subtle, you know, it's almost like a cancer. It eats away at our soul. And so it's absolutely critical that we become biblically literate and informed in what are God's thoughts and God's ways. So if you're interested and can help us in some of our Sunday school classes, we'd love to have you. But there's somebody else we do need to put on the spot. Susan Galloway, would you please come forward? You know, this is just a true joy to be able to put people on the spot. Over the past several weeks, we've been recognizing folks who've been helping with Christian nurture about this. And Susan, we just want to thank you for the way that you minister in various ways and raising up a godly generation. Love you and appreciate you. Thank you so much. You know, if you really want to have a triple whammy, you need to follow me to the different churches. At Lydia this morning, a man shows up in his leathers and a three-wheeler, you know, and it's our executive presbyter, and that's the way he shows up, and he makes his stops in various churches and so on, but we had a blast with him at the Lydia service. At the Lydia service, a lot of the young boys from Thornwell pray during the service. And one of the prayers really gripped me this morning. You know, remember when Jesus talks about you better watch about tripping up any kids because they have an angel watching? Well, this little kid was praying for the ministry of angels to be released, you know, in different people's lives. And I thought, I bet that's a prayer that got heard. You know? And it was very moving. But anyway, it's been a lot of fun. How do I introduce my daughter? What story would you love to hear from her childhood? Ooh, do I have some? She says, don't you dare. Lizzie has been rather busy the last few months going to various churches and sharing, and she loves to do that. And, of course, she's already done the BLT. Well, Bethany is the last of the BLT, Lydia and Todd, she's already done. She's been in a lot of other places. One of the things that Lizzie does not talk about very easily and very well is Christar, the organization she serves, is not going to let her go back to Albania until she raises her full support. And she is about 800 a month short. There's a congregation that might assist her with 300 possibly. But, you know, she just sort of forgets to, you know, talk about those things. Well, we don't read minds, Lizzie. But what I would like to ask you to do is take it on yourself to be an advocate. You know, it's amazing if you keep something in your mind, the opportunities to talk about it or to be an advocate for her or to talk about global missions with somebody really comes up very easily and very frequently. So just sort of assume that you are her representative. And, you know, if it seems appropriate in the conversation, you just share about the work in Albania and the needs there and so on. But, Liz, we love you. And it's good to have you. Did I get a hug?
Thank you.
Now, can you hear me? This is from Philippians chapter 1. Εφάν δεροί πέραν δίν τίμ, σα χέρ υκουιτόι, νιστό λούτια τσιμπόι, τζιθμό μου τη μεγεσίν πριν τη τζιθ.
Of course, this means nothing new because you don't even understand it.
Perpios martin tuai. Ne dobi tu injili gadite par deritani. Ja mesir sai ce mi sni veper tu mir mesius do te perfundoi. Deri na ditin kur do te vi Christi Jesus.
Sorry.
Okay.
This is in the English.
Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy. You have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ. From the first day you heard it until now. And I'm certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day of Christ Jesus. So I am really grateful for all of you and just appreciate your part. You're a big part, and I couldn't be in Albania without you and your prayers and your support. So just want to thank you. I can't really hold this and hold the flag. Dad, would you like to hold this? Albanians do not call their country Albania. They call it Shqipëria, which means land of the eagle. So on their flag, they have a double-headed eagle. Their language is Shqip, and the people are called Shqiptar, which means eagle people, and they speak the eagle language. So that's Albania. Again, this is their flag. Albania was part of ancient Illyria or Illyricum. I think in our English Bible it says Illyricum. In Albania we say Illyria. So when Paul says he preached the gospel all the way to Illyria, we believe that he possibly went all the way to Albania to preach the gospel. So they had some Christian roots. And then the Turks came in, and the Turks were in power for 500 years and brought in Islam. So for 500 years the country was Muslim. And then communism came in, and they had a very difficult dictator. It was very harsh, and so from what I can understand, communism in Albania was very different than communism in other countries because their dictator was just very harsh, and he had all the religious leaders and all the intellectuals executed. All the places of worship were torn down, and it was against the law to talk about God or to worship God. So that was for about 50 years that they were communist. And then 1921, communism fell, and today we have freedom to share the gospel, freedom to talk about God, freedom to worship God. So it's kind of a neat time to be there. So. Next slide. Albania is mostly mountains. It's very beautiful. Next slide, Mark. More mountains. So it's about 75% mountains. And they're also right on the Adriatic Sea, right across from Italy, right next to Greece. So. Next. Just so you'll want to come see me. It's more beautiful to see me. So, in the northern part where these pictures were taken, it's very mountainous, and farmers are spread out. There aren't any hotels or restaurants. And so this family, they will use their home as a hotel for any travelers, so we stayed with them. And they made us homemade bread and homemade butter and preserves, and it was great. So these are just hay fields. There's a lot of farming and agriculture. These are bomb shelters that you'll see all over the country. During communism, the dictator didn't allow anyone in or out of the country, and he told them that they were one of the wealthiest countries in the world and that America and others wanted to have what they had, and so that the Americans and others were going to come bomb them to take their wealth. And they believed that, so they built 175,000 bomb shelters all over the country that you'll still see today. And then when communism fell, they found out they were the poorest, most underdeveloped country in Europe. So. This is on the way to southern Albania. I think I was the only female in the bus, so I got shotgun, which was really nice. So I'm taking pictures from the front. This is, for 5 years, I've been located in the capital city of Tirana, and when I return in July, I'll actually be moving to a rural area in southern Albania. So this is on the road to where I'll be going. This is possibly the view from where I'll be living. So, and I'll talk more about that at the end. This is the downtown of the capital city of Tirana. And I think I must have taken this picture between 2 and 4 p.m. because the streets look kind of dead. And that's kind of their siesta period from 2 to 4. And then things open back up. Everything closes down, and then they open back from about 4 to 9. So, again, the downtown area. There's a statue of one of their national heroes who fought the Turks for a while, and then you'll see the mosque behind it. This is about a 10-minute walk from where I've been living. And five times a day, you can hear the call to prayer. And on Fridays, they broadcast the sermon for you. So, Albania today, since the fall of communism, is about 70% Muslim again, just because that was kind of what they were before communism. So about 70% claim to be Muslim. Most of them are nominal. You always see women who are fully covered, but most of them do not. Then they're just about 0.3% Christian evangelical. And then maybe 25 to 30% would claim to be Catholic or Orthodox. So, fish is a very popular food in Albania. So you've got fresh fish and fresh fruits and vegetables. And we now have a Walmart Supercenter. So, I'm not sure where this came from. But it's not even a walk-in store. It's just this man on the side of the street who sells some washing machines and televisions, and he found a Walmart Supercenter. So we're very happy. So there are not any chain stores or restaurants in Albania. McDonald's tried to come, but because of the corruption in the country, they felt like they couldn't run a business. So there are not any chain stores. But this is shopping. Things will be out in the street. That is Dad on the right-hand corner. It was great to have Mom and Dad come visit back in, I think, 2008. This is a family that I was living with, Lumi, the mom. She's making a very traditional Albanian dish right here. It's a pie, and they'll put either spinach, cheese, or tomatoes inside of it. It's really good. Her family is Muslim. She had a 17-year-old daughter who each night would read about Islam. She can't speak Arabic, so she didn't read the Quran, but she would read literature about Islam every night, and I'd read my Bible every night. And after about 6 months, invited her to church. I didn't know enough language to really be able to explain my faith, but she started coming to church with me, and now she lives in Italy, and she tells me she has found a church there. So I'm not sure how she's doing, but it was a step. So hospitality is very big in Albania. They love to visit people in their homes, and this was on a visit. You know, it's kind of dark, but you might be able to see there's a plate of cookies and fruit on the table, and that's traditionally what they'll serve you, and they'll give you coffee. And the most interesting thing I've ever been served was in this home. They served me bone soup, and it was like chewing on cartilage. If you don't eat it fast enough, you can't get the spoon out of your bowl, and if you don't swallow fast enough, it sticks to the roof of your mouth. So, which I guess is why they say they put bones in gelatin. I had heard that before, but it really does make things gel. So, this is the church that I'm a part of. One of the things that we do, as you know, most of you, I've been working at a family health center or a clinic for 5 years. And for the first 3 years, I was located at the clinic seeing patients. About half our patients are Albanian, and the other half were Roma gypsies or businessmen, embassy workers, missionaries, foreigners in the country. And then 2 years ago, we started doing community health or home health. And we have partnered with church planners in the area to do visits in their communities and as a ministry of the church. So this is one of the churches that we have partnered with and have been doing community health visits in their community. So this is on the back-hand side on the right. It was a British pastor and his wife who have been leading the church, and they just returned to England after about 8 years in Albania. And now the Albanian couple on the far left is pastoring the church, and the three of us in the middle are nurses who work for the community health nurses of the church. But the Albanian couple's really funny. They lead worship at the church, and many of them can carry a tune in a bucket. But none of us are musical, so we're not going to volunteer to do it. But they really sing out. So. This was a baptism this past summer. We had one gentleman and two of his children, and then another teenager who professed Jesus as Lord and wanted to be baptized. So these are two of the kids from the church. When you see Albanians walking down the street or around, you think they're just like us because they dress so much like us, but when you live with them, you realize they're actually very different lifestyles. But this is at the church, once a week, we do a meeting for moms of toddlers, and we do a small health lesson and a small Bible lesson as well. So these are some of the moms who come to that. This is the staff room at our clinic. We have an American doctor, a German doctor, a British doctor, and several Albanian medical interns. So this was just a staff meeting one day. These are more of our staff. On the far right is Alona. She's actually a gypsy, and the church in southern Albania took her under their wing and really discipled her, and she loves the Lord. She's our secretary. And the back right is Marcela. She's a medical intern who's now married to our administrator. And to my left is Miranda. She's also a medical student who's just graduated from medical school. Next to her is Flutra, one of our community health nurses. And in the back left is Miranda, our nurse at the clinic, who her mom just recently died from cancer, and she's gone to live with her dad about 8 hours away. So she's no longer with us, but really neat girl, just loves the Lord, really neat girl, loves people. So I said 2 years ago we started community health, and one of my big focuses in community health has been the Roma Gypsy community. This is one visit in a Roma home. We had a lady who came to the clinic. Her tonsils were so swollen, she could barely breathe, so she needed to have them removed. We took her to the local hospital, and because she was gypsy, she was not treated very well, so the doctor used rusty scissors, didn't use any local anesthetic, and was soaking in her face during the procedure. So they're just not treated very well. They have a bad reputation for stealing and that kind of thing, but they are very poor. So we've been doing a lot of visits in their community. This is another Roma family. And this is how they wrap their babies. They're just paranoid of the cold. So year-round, they wrap their babies like this. And in the summer, I think all the babies go into a coma. It is so hot. We try to tell the moms, you really don't need to do that to your child. So, this is Angie. She was a college student when I went back in 2007 that I met. And I needed to learn the language, study it, and I asked her if she would be one of my language helpers, and I would hire, I think I paid her $2 an hour to help me learn the language. And basically I was translating Bible stories to teach some kids I was working with, and she would help me translate them. And she had never heard them before, you know, Daniel and the Lion's Den, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and then we got to the New Testament, and after about a year, she fell in love with Jesus and wanted to be a follower of Jesus and be baptized, and so that was really exciting and got to be a part of that. These are five Albanian girls that I lived with when I went back in 2007. Really neat girls, some of my best friends there. They all came to know the Lord in college, and they all are from different parts of the country, but they live together in an apartment, and just love the Lord. When I went to live with them, I took all these games. I thought, we're just going to have a good time. And I love to play games. They love to play games. And I'd pull out my games and ask if they wanted to play. And they'd say, well, we really wanted to read the Bible together tonight and pray for each other. Maybe we could play a game another night. But it was great. So we did that a lot. Once a week, they'd have a Bible study for anybody in their apartment who wanted to come. And they just love the Lord. Another picture of them so I can keep talking about them. So, another neat thing about them is they have a lot of family members who are unemployed. Unemployment is about 40% in Albania, maybe close to 50, but say 40. And so they will they live very simply so they can support their family. So they send money back to their parents and family members who are unemployed in different parts of Albania. And they didn't have an oven or a stove. They had one gas burner that they cooked their soup over. And just lived very, very simply, used very little electricity. And another difficult thing about living in Albania is the corruption, because everybody's trying to make some money. You have to pay a bribe just every day, just have normal things done. If you're at the hospital to see a doctor or nurse, you pay a bribe. The nurse won't start your IV until you pay a bribe, that kind of thing. So you can sit in a lie in a hospital for a week and not be seen. They only had running water 2 hours a day because the landlord wanted them to pay a bribe to fix their water. There wasn't really any reason for them not to have running water. And they just felt like, you know what, if we want corruption to stop in our country, we the people have to refuse to pay the bribe. And so they refused to pay the bribe, and as a result, they have 2 hours of running water a day, 1 hour in the morning, 1 hour at night. And basically, everybody knows what to do when the water comes on. One gets in the shower, one fills up the mop bucket, one washes the dishes, one makes dinner, one washes clothes, and every day we all had an assignment. but it was just really neat. They have just really been a blessing to me, and I'm grateful for them. So. This is in southern Albania. The church down there has a camp. It reminded me a lot of Bethany. Not quite the same, but... it's a small church, about 30 people, but they rely on a lot of volunteers to come from different places. And this past summer, they had about 1,500 youth come from all over the country because they were in the camp from June to September. So every week, it was a different group that would come. And they would have teams and morning devotions in the mornings and crafts and outdoor activities. I'm not sure what this was, but... somebody brought one of those parachutes you can run under, and they enjoyed that. These are a couple of the ladies from church who ran the kitchen. They're preparing meals. And then we had a lot of volunteers, some from England and the States, who came to help in the kitchen as well. And so they're preparing meals, and would love to have any of you come. The young people stay in dorms, and these are the sinks outside the dorms where they wash their hands. And they're having soup, salad, and bread. This is very traditional Albanian meal. It's not a meal to them if you don't eat it with a spoon. So they eat soup every day. This is lining up for activities. This is my team when we won the archery competition. I think it was the only thing we won that week, but it was exciting. So. With some of the campers. More campers. And each evening they would take turns singing, doing songs, drama. So in the gospel message would be shared each evening. This is one of the teams did a skit and singing. This is back outside of the camp. Albanians are very relational, and you often see guys walking arm in arm down the street or women walking arm in arm down the street. This is Daniela, one of my best Albanian friends. Albanians don't go out to eat a lot, but they go out for coffee and they dress up, and it's a fun occasion. So we got together maybe every week this past year to pray for each other and talk. So this is back in the Roma Gypsy community. This is where they live. There's a river right between that muddy area and the green hill that you see in the back, and that's what they use for washing their clothes and that kind of thing. So pretty much just made from the piece of scraps of metal and wood. And then there was a British worship team that came from their church in England. They heard the gypsies liked music, so they came and played some songs, and we translated for them. Often when we do health visits, we go at least once a week to this community. We'll take fruit or something for the children. So I think she's eating an apple. I think they're eating apples. Most of my Albanian friends have never been to the Albanian community just because they don't. The Roma live completely separately, so people don't really go out there. When we first started going, I think the Roma were kind of suspicious. Why are you coming? Are you going to turn us into the police or something? Because they're not registered at all. But now they know who we are, and we've built relationships. And this is Yona to my left. She is an Albanian nursing student from the church that we're working in. And she does visits with me, and I've been really excited. She just really has a heart for the Roma people, which a lot of Albanians don't because they're looked down on. But she loves to go, so... She's weighing one of the children with all the clothes on because it's very cold. But we do a lot of heights and weights and talk about nutrition. And, this is Fikna to the far left. I think she was 5 months pregnant, so we do a lot of prenatal visits as well. The Roma typically drink maybe 2 or 3 cups of coffee a day, very little water. And so a lot of what we do is just encourage them to drink. It's something simple that they can do. We also talk about boiling their water and that kind of a thing. So. Once a week we do a Bible club for some of the street children. So these are some of the street kids that we had permission to get for an hour a week that would come in, and we would just do songs and crafts and have a snack and just have a good time with them and share a Bible story as well. And one church sent some coloring books for them a year ago for Christmas, so those were the coloring books. So. The little boy in the middle is just... I just love him. He's so funny. But his name is Yeni, which in Albanian means you. And I think his parents ran out of names. Since it's just, hey, you. That's his name. So, this is another Roma family. And when we do visits, all our patients know that we're Christians. And one of the neat things for me about living there is that I'll often be stopped. And they'll say, hey, are you one of those Christians? And they'll want to know what you believe. But anyway, we pray with them, and then if they seem to be open, we'll do a Bible study with them. So this lady, we've been studying the Bible with for about a year with her family, so in her home. Okay, same family. This is another family that also was open to studying the Bible, so we do that with them. We also do medical visits with them and have done some literacy lessons, teaching them how to read because the children, most of them are uneducated. So this is an alphabet puzzle where they're putting the alphabet together, and they learned how to write their name and just very basic things. So. This is Vali. She's just a really good mom. Every time you go see her, her children are just so clean, and she takes really good care of them. You can see her stove in the back. That's what she cooks over. And it's just a one little room. There's no furniture except for a bed, so that's what you sit on. And sometimes there'll be cockroaches all over the place, but when you sit down, they'll scatter. And you just hope they're not crawling up behind you. But she's a really good mom. So this is her daughter, Marcela. More of the children. And another family. This is a couple. I was doing a medical visit with them, and both the husband and wife had a blood pressure of about 220 over 120. And they couldn't understand really the risk, what was the problem with that. So we were discussing the risks with them. After a few weeks of discussing the risks with them, they finally were convinced to take some medicine. And after they'd been on medicine for a while, their blood pressure was 150 over 90 that day, which was really good for them. So they were happy. So. Do a lot of prenatal visits. That's not prenatal. Okay. Well, maybe. So, this is a young mom, Joanna. Roma are typically married by arranged marriages. By the time they're 13 or 14, the girls are usually married to someone that has been picked for them. So this is Joanna, one of the young moms. Again, just their houses. Some of the Roma. More houses. It's also the trash dump. It's where the city dumps all the trash, and then every now and then when I go, all the trash will be burning. And then the next time I go, all the trash is back. So, but there'll often just be trash burning in the air. This is one of the moms, again, who we did the Bible study with, and I think this was when she prayed to receive Jesus as her Lord as well. Zana, she was begging on the street. She's a crippled mother of five. Really a good mom and just always has a smile on her face. Her baby does not, as you can see. And this is the team that I work with, about 14 of us. I think there are a couple short-termers there. Some of our team are involved more in discipleship. A lot of the women teach at the school for foreign children, missionary children. And then four of us are on the medical team. So just briefly, in closing, is it 12? 15? Okay. As I said, when I return in beginning of July, we'll be going to a rural area, and that's basically to start community health, the same thing we've been doing in partnership with the small church down there. So just appreciate your prayers that God will give us wisdom in making those contacts and how to best serve them. They have a large elderly population. Many of the young adults have moved out of the country to find jobs, so we wanted to especially work with the elderly. So thank you.
This is an Albanian dress, by the way. Thank you. I do want to, as a parent, I want to thank you for your investment in Elizabeth. She is literally a product of this congregation, born here, raised, nurtured, and we just thank you for that. Let's prepare our hearts for the celebration of the Lord's Supper. I would remind you that it is the Lord's Supper. It's not a Presbyterian table or a Methodist or a Baptist. It's the Lord's table. And in the spirit of what we have just heard, I would remind you, if this is not Worldwide Communion Sunday, there is a day designated for that. But I think it's helpful as we participate in the meal to remind ourselves that indeed the global church celebrates this meal. And you can go to another service, they may be speaking Creole or Korean or Chinese, and you may not have a clue as to what's going on. But when they come to the sacrament, you recognize the elements and you know that you're part of the family, the same family of which they are. And so as we celebrate the meal, let me just remind you that indeed it is part of the global church, and that's why in our creeds we talk about the church being one and Catholic. It is universal, and we're a part of that family.